Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining me on Out There. My guest this week is a friend who was on not long ago, and matter of fact, he's been on a couple of times now. Dan Dunlap is coming back in. We're going to talk about a couple of different things. He was, he calls me up from time to time. We talk from time to time, and we talked about some, you know, somebody had asked me this before. How come you don't talk about conspiracies on your show? And, you know, because that's part of the unknown. But, you know, how do you prove a conspiracy? You know, how do you prove that? You know, and unless you're a firsthand witness to it, which is a lot of times with the people I bring on my show, you know, they're usually firsthand witness to something. So unless you were involved in JFK's assassination, you know, Dan, I mean, but I'd like to touch on that, and we'll touch about some other things as well. But, you know, first of all, thanks for coming by.
Thank you, TJ. It's always a pleasure to be here, and I love this show, and I tell you, it's just going to grow and grow and grow because once you close your mind, you quit growing.
So you think there's more and more people coming, changing, and that there's a change going on?
Well, I wouldn't say evolving. I would say we de-evolved. Now we're going back to where we originally were.
That's a good way to put it. So let me ask you this. Now, there was a show I watched. Oh, I can't remember what it's called. Some kind of ghost investigation show. It was on the Travel Channel. See if you ever heard this conspiracy, because we'll talk about a couple of them just for the fun of it. There was supposedly a ghost that was haunting this place. I think it was in Kansas City. And these guys went in there, and it was supposed to be John Wilkes Booth ghost.
Yes, I watched that one.
Did you see that?
Yes.
What did you think of that?
Anything is possible.
But here they're making it sound like he survived. He wasn't involved in that shootout in that barn, and he went on to live for quite a while after that, and the government just kind of covered it up, which I believe they would.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't catch the guy that shot the president, wouldn't it make sense?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so if he did survive, which I never heard this before, then he lived to an older age, and he died in a hotel, and he was all upset about what he did, and his ghost is hanging around there, and you know, it's kind of interesting. It's the same like the Billy the Kid one. You remember? You ever see that movie Young Guns?
Yes.
And the story is based on, and this would make a lot of sense if you think about it, because I was talking about this with a friend of mine. William Bonney apparently doesn't get shot by Pat Garrett, but goes to Mexico, and then years later turns himself in the 40s, like when he's 90 years old, and 1940-something, and nobody believes him. And that's what the story Young Guns is based on. But you know, think about it back then. Normally when they shot somebody, didn't they parade them all around out west? And,
Oh, yeah.
So I think that's possible. That story might be possible. Now, the one with the Wilkes Booth, I don't know. I don't know about that one.
You know, I don't know. I'm not going to close my mind to it. It's possible. Now, but
I think the JFK assassination, there's a lot of witnesses to support. And now we probably would know about the Wilkes Booth story, too, if there were more people alive.
Well, with that JFK and RFK and all these other ones, you know, there's a conspiracy on the MK Ultra. And, you know, the mind control, you know, about the goats. What was that one with?
The goats?
Yeah, men who...
Oh, the men who stare at goats.
Yeah. Okay. And that's all part of that MK Ultra, you know, which is another conspiracy. But you know what? I feel so sorry for these military people and everything that think they gotta use this mind control and everything, and they were even trying through that MK Ultra to make soldiers walk through walls and stuff, you know.
Isn't that something?
And you know, they want to seek and find these things, but they're doing it from a secular level, and the only way you can do it is you have to die to self. Today's a good day to die.
And
step into that spiritual realm.
Right.
And then, you know, you go into the quantum physics of everything. And then indeed the kingdom of God is within you, nothing is impossible with God.
So let me just get back to some of these. You know, just because we wanted to touch on this a little bit, you would talk to me about some concerns you had about some things. What were those things? Remember that the other day?
Oh, that was with the Bilderberg group.
The Bilderberger group.
Yeah, about trying to genocide, you know, too many people to control.
And where
you
did
know.
You find out about that?
The Is Great it? Culling has started, per se.
No, but where did you see information on that?
Oh,
Jesse Ventura?
Yeah, conspiracy. Okay.
He's got a lot of people riled up, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, but you start looking at everything and the people he finds and everything, you know, you're going, wow, it's all starting to look like, man, it's real.
It looks like it.
Yeah.
But again, we really don't know.
And for me, you know, death has lost its sting, you know.
I bet it would hurt right now.
Well, if I got my arm chopped off or something, you know, and bled to death there, you know, that would hurt for a little bit.
Maybe so. I mean, it's easy to say it, I guess is what I'm saying, but when it comes, I don't know if it's going to be so easy, you know.
Well, you know, my brother, he passed away, and right. he said, when I go, I'd just like to go to sleep and not wake up, and that's sure enough, that's how he passed away.
So you don't worry about these things as much, and you believe that a lot of them might be coming forward.
Well, let them. If they want to, I look at these people that are in their greed, living out of their 10% of their minds, you know. TJ, I got to sit back and wonder, with all these gifts that are coming forward, you know, we all must be like little children. You know, get back to that childlike nature and where nothing is impossible to us. All things are open to us. And is it possible that we start unlocking and using that 10% of our brain that's sitting there dormant?
Or 90%.
Or, yeah, I'm sorry, 90%.
Boy, if you only got 10% left, what are you doing talking to me? You should be.
After all the drugs and everything I've done throughout my life, it's probably less than that.
Well, yeah, what's left of your brain. But I'm saying, if you've got 90% of your brain open, you would have just like ascended by now. You wouldn't
have been talking. Oh, man, I'd have took off and I wouldn't come back to this rock for nothing.
Well,
I'd have went someplace else in the universe and played.
So, you know, there's a lot of, this is interesting that Jesse Ventura brings up these things, and you wonder if it's done for TV. I haven't seen any of his shows, and I've heard a lot of people talk about him, and I just wanted to go down that road. My show is not about, I don't want to scare people. I don't want to go in areas that I really know nothing about unless that somebody is a firsthand witness to it. But also, I find with a lot of this conspiracy stuff, because I used to follow it years ago on the internet and that, if you focus on it too much, a lot of it's very negative. And negative things can make you ill.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I noticed, I used to listen to this one program all the time. And it wasn't Coast to Coast. I like Coast to Coast. But it was another one on the internet. And I started getting sick. I literally started getting sick. And I said, you know, I can't, even if this is the truth and I need to hear some of it, I'm going to take very little doses. And I'm not going to listen to it too often. And my friend John St. Augustine, who was just on my show, says, whatever you focus on the longest becomes the strongest. So if you want to focus on that stuff, on the negativity and the negative spirits out there, on the evil things that might be going on, it's good to know about them a little bit, but you're only going to make it stronger. Now, if you choose to focus on love and that direction, going in that direction, light, maybe that's going to make that stronger as well. You know, we got to take a break in just a moment, but go ahead, Dan.
Well, I just want to end with this segment with, you know, I look at everything as they're all teachers, whether they're negative energy intelligence or positive energy intelligence. It's all teachers.
Certainly.
Now, me, through my years of going to drugs, which I don't drink or drug or anymore, you know, but that is a school of hard knocks.
You know what? We got to tell, if you don't mind, we got to talk about that one story of that one girlfriend of yours.
Oh, geez, that was scary.
If you are involved in drugs or whatever, and you want to, and I told Dan at the time, you know, when you lower your vibrations, you open the door for other beings to come in. And we're going to tell you about that coming up. That is a little scary, so I don't mean to scare people, but it is, it's the truth. And we'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Out There with TJ Ryan and my guest Dan Dunlap.
Out there. And to help people grow more and more.
I'm going to come back as a toad. So I can pee on everybody. Is that you, TJ?
Like on...
My brother, sorry.
Like, oh, brother, where art thou? He's a toad. And then he squishes him and throws him against a tree.
It's out there, out there, out there, out
there. Hi, my name is TJ. This is Out There. My friend Dan is here. A big Dan, I call him, because he's a pretty big fella. And we're like brothers. We go back to a different time, I think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, I just sensed that, too, that I was Native American at one time. I felt that way. I haven't felt this way my whole life, really, but just more in the last maybe 5-10 years.
Yes.
I started to pick up on that.
You know, when we were talking the other day about, you know, back in the
Remember, you're in the store? Tell every people how I came up to you in the store.
Yeah, I'm thinking, who is this weirdo? I've seen him out of my peripheral vision, you know, and I'm trying to ignore him. And every time I went to reach for some water, he would make a move. And then I'd reach again, and I'm thinking, who is this weirdo? And all of a sudden I look, and there's TJ playing with my mind.
Isn't it funny how, you know, I guess I was doing that because we all get uncomfortable with people a little bit that we don't really know, and you kind of don't pay attention to them, you know, right? And they crowd your space.
Yeah.
So I thought, I just want to do a little experiment here, and I always mess around with you. Sorry about that, Dan.
Oh, it was fun. It was fun.
But, well, you tried to do the same to me when you came in.
Yeah.
You know, laughter is such a good thing, and that's what I enjoy talking to you so much, because we both can laugh a lot. But, and I think we're both at a state where, you know, you could make light of me, and I could make light of you.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's not like we're going to get upset about it. So that's awesome. Now, Dan, remember how long, well, I'm not even going to go, we're not going to go into great detail, but there was a woman that you were involved with. Now, you were clean and sober at the time, right?
Yes. That, I was on my journey of change, is what I call it.
But you were with a woman that was involved with some pretty serious stuff still.
Yeah, heavy-duty alcohol.
Mainly alcohol. And I don't know if you had heard it before, but when I told you, I said, you know, she may be being controlled by something else. Now, I had heard this before, that, you know, everything's on a vibration. And when the more you're filled with love, the higher the vibration is. And these lower negative vibrations, if you want to call them that, they can't get at it. They are away from it.
Yes.
The more you're filled with love, it's just, they're not anything to do with that. And the more you're filled with, well, alcohol can do it and drugs can do it, because it just lowers you down and opens the door, from what I understand of this, to where these things can walk in and kind of run the show. And so what happened with this woman?
Well, first I'd like to say, you know, them restaurants that say food and spirits, I don't think them spirits they're talking about are very nice.
Mm.
But anyways, you know, I didn't want to give up on her because I know I fought alcoholism and I wanted it. And the more I fought, the harder it came, you know. But finally, the scales tipped and I became alcohol free, you know. And I was sitting there with her and she's all passed out, just being so mean to me. And then
she always got that way when she did that. Right?
Yes.
But she wasn't like that when she was sober.
All her morals went out the door. No, beautiful.
And the thing is, how many people do all of us know in our life that are like that?
Yeah, my dad was like that. But a beautiful person, you know, sober.
So you wonder why they, and you've heard people say, well, I don't know what happened. That wasn't me. I don't think I did that. I don't recall doing that. When they act that way and they sober up, you know, afterwards.
Well, I believe that your spirit gets mad and stands off to the side, which leaves your house open for to be invaded by these negative energy intelligence.
So for a while there, they actually take over. And you know, I believe that actually happened to me.
Oh, it happened to me many times.
Years ago when I went to a Brewer game, a baseball game, and I had a lot to drink on the way down there. Normally, I don't do it to that excess, but I did. And I was walking around the stadium. That's kind of funny now, but I'm going, hey, hey! And I don't remember the first 7 innings, and I kept falling asleep on my buddy who was sitting next to me, and he pushed my head back. So I wasn't horrible, but I was kind of not a very nice guy. And I thought, that's not me. So I think something was sticking its nose in.
Oh, yeah.
And especially the part since I don't remember, right? So what happened?
Oh, well, she was passed out, and I was laying there, you know, next to her. And I started praying, you know. And then all of a sudden, I looked at her, and I said, you know, you're not going to win. I'm not giving up on her. I know that she can come out of this, and you're not going to win. And all of a sudden, her eyes opened up to me, and this voice came out and said, you're never going to get her. And man, I just backed right up, you know. And then she closed her eyes and was just sound asleep
again.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
I tell you, it
what like, did you do? Did you leave or?
No, I just sat there and I looked at her for a while to make sure she was, you know.
And was the voice her own voice or was it a?
It was a voice just like that. You're never going to get her.
So it was a gravelly man's voice.
Yeah, and it scared me to, like, whoa.
And was that the only time you ever experienced that?
That was the only time I ever experienced that with her.
Did you experience that with anybody else?
No. No, never did. That was the one and only time. But my heart was so in love with her that I didn't want to let go. And I was hanging on so tight. Mm. But then when, you know, that, you know, I just thought, is it possible that all these things I thought are the actual truth, that your spirit stands off to the side and leaves the house open? You know, I think after that experience that there was definitely, and you know, like I said, when she's sober, she was the most beautiful,
right?
Kind.
I've known people like
caring that. Woman there ever was,
myself included. Except I wasn't a woman, but I mean, I'm a pretty nice guy most of the time. But that one time at that Brewer game, and I was kind of obnoxious to people. I'm surprised somebody didn't deck me. You know, it's like, hey, what do you want? What are you looking at? You know, it's like, and I barely remember doing that. And I was thinking at the time, even when it was happening. This isn't me, you know?
Yeah. I woke up a few times with black eyes, and this one buddy looks at me.
You had some rough experiences.
Oh, man. Talk about a school of hard knocks.
You really got yourself busted up pretty bad.
Yeah,
you told me the fight. The fights you got into. And Dan's a big guy, and it takes probably several people to bring you down, I would think. But you got some scars out of it. And
school of hard knocks.
Yes.
That's what.
And how long were you an alcoholic?
I'd say I had my first drink when I was 12, and I was an instant alcoholic. And for the next, till I was 39, I went to a six-month treatment. And then that was just the beginning of my journey of change. But there was a lot of years, you know, and I was a weekend alcoholic. And I was a, you know, I like to say responsible alcoholic, but you know, there's really never a responsible alcoholic. Mm.
And so you've been, how long have you been off of alcohol?
Probably, you know, I control it. It doesn't control me. Every once in a while, I'll have a, you know, like maybe 2-3 times a year at special occasions, I have me a drink. Like, for example, at my niece's graduation party this year, there was a Jello shots and there was pudding shots. Well, I never had pudding shots before. So I had me a couple of them, and I'm going, man, them are good, you know, just to try them out, you know.
Let me have some more of them. Then you got to start worrying, right? Give me that whole plate. Come on.
But now I can shut it off, you know, and I control it. You know?
Right.
It doesn't control me.
That's good.
But the...
Now, they say alcoholics, because I don't know this. You can never go back and just have a drink.
That's if you try and do it on your own. But if you do it growing spiritually and everything, you know, filling that spiritual quadrant, getting your emotional quadrant, your mental quadrant, and your physical quadrant all healthy, then you're in control of yourself. Then you start on your journey of change, becoming a son of God. And then when you gain dominion over the negative energy intelligence and the positive energy intelligence, then you control them. They don't control you no more.
So what are you saying exactly? can you have a drink or not?
Yeah. I mean, just as long as you don't let it Because it can be cunning, baffling, and powerful.
Mm.
And you have to know where it is.
You know, I always wondered why people are alcoholics. And there's ones that are social, you know. And what separates them? Is it a case of they don't know when to quit? Or they don't want to quit?
One thing I know for sure is that I have never met a stupid or dumb alcoholic. They're all highly intelligent.
Right.
And don't ask me why.
Are they driven because there's something lacking inside them? Like you say, the quadrant's not full?
The intelligence that comes with it is like, okay, in order to reach this true meaning where you're supposed to be, you have to overcome these negative things in your life. I don't know for sure.
Is it maybe a challenge that's laid out for you?
Yeah. Okay. Not just for me, but I noticed that
throughout my whole journey of change. That's really interesting. Anyway, we'll take a break, come back in just a moment. Dan Dunlop joining me on Out There.
Out There. Out There. Out There. Out There.
You know, I'd like to do a show. Maybe sometime I will. Of course, I'd have to go back and look through all the shows because I save like an overall copy of the interview. And then I pick it apart and edit it. And it's real easy to do because we pretty much, in between the breaks, don't go too far off track. But there are some edits that are things taken out of shows that are just funny, really funny, especially when I got Dan and we're just goofing around. You know, some of it even before we even start recording, a lot of it there. We might talk for half hour and just joke around. But I never want to put something on that's going to include somebody's name that maybe doesn't want to be on the show. So, and it's not like we're running anybody down, but we'll say, hey, remember so-and-so, remember when they did that? Yeah, and stuff like that. So, but to me, it just lends more credibility to what I'm doing and the guests I have is that we're real folks, you know, we're not perfect and we have regular conversations. The biggest thing I'm on guard against when I listen to a show is, are these people like that for real? Are they really as nice as they appear? And no, I'm not always as nice as you may think I sound like, if you think that. I'm human like anybody else. For the most part, I think I'm filled with joy most of the time, but not always. And I can get upset, and people cut me off in traffic, or whatever the case. I mean, that's not important. But I just want to present a real side to what this is. Next week, I have somebody on that I'm really excited to talk to. Her name is Shawn. She's from Lower Michigan, just south of the bridge. And she runs this thing called the Sanctuary. And I don't know. You know, my whole life, I think not my whole life, but my whole adult life, I've found a few answers, in my own opinion, to things that I've been searching for. It was a couple of teachings that really pointed things out, some books that I've read. And since then, I've been trying to find, I guess maybe that's part of why I do this show, others that have had experiences just to kind of support it. You know, do you believe in some of these crazy things that you read in some of these books or hear in some of these lectures? And so I've been on that journey, and that's part of this journey with this show. So next week, we're going to talk about some weird stuff, but we're also going to talk about something that's very close to my heart. So, and some of it's really, 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 really weird. I hope you got an open mind. If not, maybe you'll get a kick out of it anyway. But she's a gentle spirit, and she'll be on next week, Shawn Neff. And it's she's with the Sanctuary of the Unified Heart. And you can find my program at outthere.podbean.com. And thanks for listening. Boy, I sure am a chatty one this time around.
It's Out There. Out There. Out There. Out There.
Thanks for joining me on Out There. My name is TJ Ryan. My guest is Dan Dunlop. He is Native American of what tribe was that again, Dan?
Odawa. Which is Ottawa.
The Ottawa one, right. Which is, was that originating in Canada? Or?
Yeah.
And the northern.
The Chippewa in Ottawa, the Chippewa is Ojibwe originally, and Ottawa is Odawa. We originated up in Canada and migrated down.
Now, how much do you know about your background, your roots, and those kind of things? Do you know
my what?
Your roots, your background.
Oh,
your,
my Native American.
Right.
I never really
followed into that.
Followed into any spiritual aspect of anything until I started on my journey of change, and maybe 4 years before that, I started seeking. You know, and Every spirituality from around the world, I knew there was answers in them all. I started studying them all. Buddhists, the great masters, Hinduism, the Quran, the Bible, Native American. But I never really got into Native American until I went into a Native American treatment center. And then that's when my journey on the Red Road, they call it, started. And then that's where, you know, there was only one creator, one great spirit, but he had all these other spirits all around, you know. And the Native American is the master of the spirit realm. He understands it more than any other spirituality from around the world, and he accepts it.
That is the belief of the natives. You're saying that the Native American, what about the natives in other lands? Aborigines or the...
Oh, yeah.
Each native in each culture.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. There's even African natives, you know, that, you know, like the Native American, you know, the yin and the yang is very, very important. And you can use that negative energy intelligence or that positive energy intelligence. But there's tribes in Africa and stuff that just use the negative
energy. The voodoo. Over
yeah, there. And just other tribes, you know, and you can tell that it's just pure negative, you know.
Right, right.
And, you know, there's...
Especially the headhunters and the cannibals. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if they got them in Africa anymore, but they used to it years ago. I think in South America.
New Guinea was where the cannibalism...
Yeah, that probably wasn't where, so good.
Know?
Yeah.
And, you know, then you get the spirituality of, like, Buddha... The masters, you know.
And when you say the masters, what do you mean the masters?
The masters of the Far East, the Tibetans, you know. The ones that have been awakened and ascended to using that 90, which I believe, using that 90 to 100% of their brain. And then they can take their bodies and just
When you
go.
Say that, why is our brain dormant?
Well, you know, if you look back... On all the cultures and all the, like Eric Von Doniggan, you know, Chariots of the Gods, you can't dismiss all these things that are happening, you know, like, you know, and then it's like something happened to us to where we de-evolved.
So you're saying that there was a time, and I've heard this from more than one person, that we were probably complete.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And something happened to us where we no longer... Almost became enslaved.
That's a good way to put it.
And some people will go as far to say, and I've had some of my guests, like Lisa Scheel, hint that maybe we were created by an alien race or another race.
Well, you know, if you think we're the...
If we were created by that race, then they left something out of us.
Yeah. Well, they put our brain, like, in two, you know. Like we got, instead of one whole brain, it's like they
split it.
Cut us in half or something with our brain, and we got two separate brains.
A two-headed monster.
But yeah. But through, you know, coming back to where we were, through dying the self and seeking that
spiritual
self.
Now, what do you mean
self?
By dying the self? You want me to go home and...
No.
You don't want me to do that.
No.
Sit in the garage and...
No.
Oh, I'm getting a little sleepy in here, Dick.
You know, like the Bilderberg group, jealousy, all these worldly things, you know, the jealousy, the hatred, the want to control.
Greed,
you know,
part of that.
Greed. There's so much of this negative stuff that's in every person. And on your journey of change, you start throwing these things out little by little. It's like an onion, peeling an onion layer after layer until you get to that ball of power energy that's inside you. And then you start rebuilding with unconditional love, absolute forgiveness, you know. And
are you at that point where you can forgive anybody?
Oh, yeah, you have to. And it's not for them. It's for you.
Right. I understand that.
It's for you to grow.
Everybody that comes in your life that ticks you off is really trying to teach you to forgive them, probably, right?
Oh, absolutely. You have to, you know. Otherwise, you know, you're just going to stay locked in that 10%.
Right.
you know, of your brain. And
so dying to the self is really what you're saying is you're releasing that old self, letting it die, and reborn is the new self.
Yes, yes, filling yourself with pure positive.
It's not a physical thing, it's more of a spiritual, it's a journey that's a more of an energy, thought-filled journey.
Exactly. Get into meditating.
Thought and emotion, right?
I use, for me, I use, oh, oh.
You know, I'd be careful using that on the phone.
Well, you know.
Matter of fact, you even sound familiar. That's just a joke.
I hope, that's a good one.
I hope people have sense of humor. So well, what are you doing when you're doing that, Dan?
I call it priming the pump, you know. You're pulling the power from...
way down in the...
yeah, the groin area or the tailbone area, and you're pulling it up to your heart. I call it priming the pump. And then you release with the ah. Or some people use om.
Yeah. And you know, did you know that om, did you read that before? That om really means I am?
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. And you can say the great I am too, you know, but you can't refer it to yourself. You got to refer it to God because you're calling out to the creator of the universe, becoming one with Father of, that's my daddy.
He doesn't becoming mind becoming one. Your daddy.
Okay. And the awe and everything, you know, from is just my way of releasing.
Would you say you need to be very humbled at this point too then?
Oh yeah, humbling is so, so important. And I tell you what, when people come up, even though, you know, I perceive that I am unlocking and starting to use more and more of that 90% that's dormant. That humbling, boy, when people come up and get in your face and, you know, do goofy things, you just, it's a struggle, you know, you got to catch yourself,
right.
Hold every thought captive and bring it in and just say, no, you know, they're not going
right.
to, and you can feel that anger welling up, and it's just an ugly, ugly feeling, and I don't like it. So you just got to catch it, say,
Release it. Yeah.
Let it go.
And you find that's easier and easier now?
Oh, yeah. No. At times it gets rough, you know. I just want to, you know. I mean, littler things, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I just let go. But sometimes, right. Boy, right. When somebody comes up and gets in your face, you know, you
did
just
you ever
look
feel? You ever feel, Dan, like when your heart is filled with joy or love whatever or light, whatever you want to call it, you ever feel like lighter? Like your body is actually lighter?
When I meditate, I feel like I'm just so light, even, you know, because once I hit the zone, I'm going back and forth, you know, and my whole body feels like it's just lighter. And then when I hit that zone and I start traveling into the presence of God, looking for, you know, revelations, visions, you know, understanding, because I contemplate a lot of things too. Contemplate and then meditate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I tell you what, he's taken me someplace. This one time I meditated for 3 years out in this cabin for an hour and a half at night, then a half hour, 40 minutes in the morning. Then I went to work. For 3 years I did this all by myself. And I tell you what, after 3 years, man, I was like a dog with distemper. I'm running around the cabin going, this must be how it feels to go crazy. Mm-hmm. This must be how it feels to go crazy. Mm-hmm. Nice sunny Saturday morning. I'm running around like I thought I was absolutely going to go nuts. And it scared me so bad that I stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Then it took another 2-3 years of my daddy showing me things, you know, like, okay, turn the TV on at 3:00 in the morning. Here's this show on quantum physics. And I'm going, Dad, he showed me that. He showed me that. And books. There's a book over here I want you to go look at.
Mm.
Oh, there's this person over here. I want you to go talk to this person.
Mm.
And all these things, you know, it took another 2-3 years to everything that he gave me. to start making sense. But I tell you what, man, I was so scared. This must be how it feels to go crazy. And I never want to experience that again. That was really
And why
scary.
Were you experiencing that?
I think he gave me so much because that's what I wanted.
You couldn't handle it at the time.
No, I could not handle it.
That makes sense.
And it was scary.
Yeah, and it also makes sense to me that if we only do use 8 to 10% of our 6% of our brain, you know, why do we have this in our head? Why are we only using 6% of it? You would think that the whole thing's supposed to be used. Well, and if that's the case, and I always wondered this, if we're supposed to use the whole thing, how much more could we accomplish?
Well, I perceive that through the masters and Native Americans that have awakened and ascended, and Buddhists and Hindus and Christians, that we won't have no need for cars or anything.
Yeah.
If I want to go to China, I'll just transport there, astral travel there, and if I like what I see, I'll just grab my body and bring it along.
Now, some people could hear this and go, what does he mean? How do you grab your body?
I'm not really sure. I haven't hit that state yet, but I have hit the astral traveling. And
you've done the astral traveling. Now, and I've heard the theory before, and we're running a little long, but that's okay. The thing is, I used to have these things when I was a kid. I would wake up at 5 or 6 years old, and the whole room was vibrating. I mean, everything. And when I tried to speak, it would come out, and this happened to me at least a dozen times. And I felt I was coming back from a journey at the very end of it. And so I know that we probably all travel at night and we're not even aware of it. And we can also travel at will when we understand how to do that.
Absolutely.
But from what I understand, if you believe what some of these masters that you're talking about are saying, is that you can speed up your vibration. And when you understand how to do that, and this may take using all of your full brain capacity and all of that understanding, once you've learned that trick, you can literally transport your body like they did in Star Trek, only you do it with your thoughts, from one spot to another, and it's done in an instant.
Yes, absolutely.
And there are stories of people that have done that. We talk about Masters of the Far East, right? My turn to hack one up. So, the book you're referring to is like something that both of us have read. It's called Master of the Far East.
Right? Yes.
Yeah, I did like that book a lot.
Very, very enlightening book. Wake you right up.
Yeah, and you wonder if the story's true, but even if it's not, it's just amazing, amazing story.
Studying every spirituality from all over the whole world, there's a lot of things you throw over your shoulder, you know, and there's a lot of things you keep. But the things that you start keeping through the divine self that's within you, the God that's within you, and start waking him up, and then becoming one with the universe, you start putting together this amazing puzzle that just from all the spiritualities from all over the world.
Right, there's a lot.
But there's a lot of stuff that you just, you know, like I say, throw over my shoulder.
And you know, there's some things like you and I talked about, because I never want to preach at people with this show. And there are some things that you might accept or I might accept that are different than each other. And the way I look at it is that's where we're at now. And there is no right and wrong on that. And whatever you're comfortable with, what works for you, you know, if it's love, it's love. I don't care what it is.
Yes.
And so we all will take a separate step. We still might find our same, you know, the same path, you know.
Well, some people like me, I grew up in darkness, you know, all that negative. And for me to come to where I have achieved now, this part of my life, it was so hard to overcome and everything.
I would think so.
But then there's people that are naturally healthy to where they could just step right into it and say, well, that wasn't hard. But, you know, I am what I am.
Your journey proves it otherwise, right?
Yes.
Well, we all have our own journey, and I think our own journeys are by design to teach us the greatest things we feel we need to learn.
Oh, absolutely. You know,
if I've had a lot less difficult of a life than you, Dan, Maybe I just decided, you know, I guess I don't need to learn that. maybe I got that the last time around, and boy, this is plenty for me. And maybe you wanted to take a greater leap. I don't know. I guess only you can find that out.
Yeah, that's in within each and every one of us.
You know, we are past my allotment, although really there is no special allotment. It's, you know, my show. But we probably should wrap this up here. But, you know, we can come back and do this again. And as always, it's really a great joy to laugh with you. That's what I really enjoy about it.
Oh, yes. I love laughter.
And I think you and I just click on that level. Now, did you ever think, now you had mentioned to me the other day about that we were together as brothers, or who knows, maybe I was your wife for all I know in a previous time, but did you ever look at that, meditate that? Did you think about
it? Well, I believe in the mid-1800s, we were I don't know if I was a trapper and you were the Indian, but we were living like on the plains and like into the woods. We would, our main place of living, but we go out on the plains to hunt and stuff. And then when I was 13 years old, I kept having these dreams where I'm dying in this war. And in the war, in this dream, kept having it for a couple years.
Right.
It was out in the desert. And then at that time, the Vietnam War is going on. I'm going, why am I having that dream? And then I'm thinking, well, maybe I died when... You ever see that old show, Rat Race? Rat Patrol?
Yes.
Where the Germans fighting them in the Gobi Desert in Africa and everything?
Right.
And I think maybe I died in that war in the Gobi Desert.
Interesting.
And then now here
now,
I am.
Had you seen that show prior to those dreams?
How what?
Had you seen that show prior to those dreams?
No.
Okay, well, that's good. Then it wasn't influencing, you know, this was a dream that was not influenced by something you saw.
No, and it happened for a year and a half, 2 years, and then it went away.
And so, when was so you may have been around during World War II and came back after that?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
But I do know and feel that me and you have been
You know
together.
What? You know, I have to admit it now. I was your mother.
Well, this time around, I weighed 14 pounds when I was born.
I'm glad I wasn't this time around. I think there was certainly a connection, and I am of the belief that I belonged, and somebody told me this once, that I was, this actually goes back to the 1700s, and I was born in 1786 because I really felt I lived in the 1700s as a Native American into the turn of the next century, but I don't think it was real far. And this woman, we'll call her a channel. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with channels, but they allow, right? You've heard of the term?
Yes.
They allow spirits, masters, entities to speak through them, right?
Yep.
They step aside. So this woman, and I didn't know if I believed her 100%, but she told me my name was, I lived in Oklahoma. I was born in Oklahoma. And my name was Roaming Buffalo. And I thought that was pretty cool. And so she said, I learned great things in that lifetime, but I think it was a very short lifetime. So maybe that's where I knew you. I don't know. Maybe that'll come to you.
I don't know. It's just I just feel so strong that we were brothers. And I may not, maybe not blood relatives, but maybe just best friends like we are now.
That's a possibility. Because I feel that connection too. Of course, I feel with a lot of people, so I must have had a lot of lifetimes.
Well, my one son, I gave him the middle name Tatanka. Or not Tatanka, but Takoda. And that means friends of many.
Hmm.
And Takoda, you know, that's his on his birth certificate.
Tatanka's buffalo, right?
Yeah, Tatanka's buffalo.
Son, you're a buffalo.
he's a big feller, too.
Well, Dan, it's nice to talk to you again, and I appreciate you coming in. And you know what? This is just it. We can continue to do this again. So feel free to come back.
Yes. And anybody out there have any questions? Just, you know, we're not saying this is the absolute truth. We just say don't close your mind. Because once you close your mind, you quit growing. and you'll never go no place.
I can agree with that. But I think most people that listen to this show, with all the stuff I put on here, probably pretty open-minded.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So thanks for joining us and out there. My name is TJ Ryan. My guest this week, Dan Dunlap. You're a crazy man.
Now you're going to have to edit that, eh?
Music on Out There, created by Kevin MacLeod.